the Record. I'm Marcy Silman. These days, if you want to rob a bank, it's a whole lot less about guns and ski masks and much more about computer hacking. And if you want to be the security guard who catches the robber, you've got to learn their ways first. Courses in ethical hacking teach students how to defend and penetrate computer systems, and that's essentially how many hackers, at least the good kind, are trained today. Yoshi Kono is a cybersecurity professor at the University of Washington. Yoshi, thanks for coming in today.
Well, thank you for having me.
What is a cybersecurity class, first off?
Well, in our computer security class, we teach students both how to violate the security of a computer system and how to protect the security of a computer system. Stepping back all the way, a cybersecurity class is about understanding the computer security threats against modern technologies.
So is this a practical class? Do they all sit in front of their laptops and you give them a code to break?
So the class involves both a lecture component where I'm standing in front of a whiteboard and drawing things, and so on, and also a lab component. And for the lab component, what we actually do is we give the students some sample programs. One of them is a website that has the grade database or the quote grade database, and the students have to figure out how to compromise that website and set their own grade.
Wow, it sounds like a game almost.
It is a game. Computer security is very important and real, but at the same time, it's very fun and enjoyable because it is this game. It's us, there's the defenders against the attackers.
So we hear a lot about real hacking, the bad kind of hacking, as opposed to the good hacking. How would you, a cybersecurity expert, defend against somebody who's doing online bank robbery?
The first thing in defending against any system is to really understand what the threats are and who the potential adversaries might be, what their methods might be, and so on. One thing I would say at the very beginning is that there is no such thing as a perfectly secure system. All systems are vulnerable to some adversaries and secure against others. And so the first thing is to really understand what are the threats, what might the attackers actually do.
So that's based on past instances, I assume, of robbery or other kind of nefarious doings.
I would say it's based both on past instances of what we've seen in the past and also on creativity. So one of the things to realize is that we are constantly creating new types of technology. So, for example, the Google Glass is now becoming popular. Computers and automobiles, computers and medical devices, computers everywhere. And for those type of technologies, there's not really past examples. And so I'm trying to teach my students to how to be creative and to think like the adversary.
So to practice, do you try hacking into things at home so that you can bring your knowledge to the students?
There's a lot of ways that we try to gain experience, and I think actually one of the ways that I try to teach my students is to read news articles and look for new product announcements and then think, how might I hack the system? How might I compromise it? Of course, they shouldn't actually do so without permission, but to just kind of constantly, as they go about their day, think about, how might I hack that system in front of me?
I'm talking with Yoshi Kono. He's a cybersecurity professor at the University of Washington. Now, I would imagine that you're teaching students assuming that they're going to use their skills for good, but somebody might just use these to commit the crimes you're trying to protect against, couldn't they?
I think that that's potentially true for almost everything that we teach, whether it's something about physics or chemistry or computer science. One of the things that I will say, though, is that ethics is incredibly important for me and the ethical use of the information. And so at the beginning of my course, I actually have all my students sign an ethical form that says, I'm not going to use the knowledge learned through this course without legal authorization to do so.
Is there a wide demand for cybersecurity people?
Yes, there is definitely a wide demand for security experts. It's incredible how, computer security seems to be in the news every single day, and more companies I'm grateful for are now aware of it and are trying to improve the security of their systems.
So this is something that's all up in the cloud, so to speak, but I understand you actually have a set of cards you've developed, physical cards, to help teach what you teach.
Yeah, we've actually created two different sets of cards. In fact, I brought some with me, though. Of course, I know your listeners can't see. There's a game called Control-Alt-Hack that is designed for children to play and to learn a little bit about security. And another set of cards that we use in my class called the security cards, which are designed to help with computer security brainstorming.
Well, that's fascinating. And are these available on the open market, or are these only for your students?
The security cards, if you go to securitycards.cs.washington.edu, you can actually download the PDF and print them and look at them. And they have several different suits, like human impacts and adversary methods and so on, and brainstorming. Control-Alt-Hack is actually available on Amazon.com. And to give you a hint of kind of how security content is embedded into it, May I go
real briefly?
We have one on dumpster diving, where the attacker goes through a dumpster. But we actually, to teach creativity, instead of actually just digging through the dumpster, what the attacker does is they rent a garbage truck and go through the hall offsite.
So cool. Yoshi Kono teaches cybersecurity at the University of Washington. We're going to hear from some students who hack. They tell us why they are the white hat hackers. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
The record continues here on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.
We heard from a teacher of ethical hacking. Now we're going to hear from some students. These students are from Batman's Kitchen, a group at the University of Washington. No, they are not about comic books or superhero cooking techniques. Batman's Kitchen is a hacker group, and students in Batman's Kitchen take part in hacking competitions and learn about cyber defense. They told me that they're white hat hackers, which is to say they hack for good. When I spoke with David Ma, Tariq Yusuf, and Carl Kosher, they told me that despite knowing so much about the hacking world, they still trust their digital devices, at least some of them.
It's extremely hard to build a completely robust system. Mm-hmm. And when you use technology or use any tools, we kind of have to start trusting them, or else we can't actually get our daily work done. Mm-hmm. I've come to understand that we're walking this line where there are issues, but honestly, it's not always worth fixing security issues or worrying about everything, because they probably won't get attacked.
Personally, I don't even do online banking. It's a cost-benefit type of thing. One analog is kind of like an elevator. I feel comfortable riding an elevator. It's a little more risky than riding the stairs because, like, say for some reason the cable snaps and I fall from 50 stories up, it's harder to fall downstairs. And similarly with, say, online banking, for example, yeah, it's very convenient. And, like, you know, I can snap pictures of checks on my phone and stuff like that. But if there is some vulnerability in their mobile app or their website, my money goes down the drain.
I'm a little different. I would absolutely do banking on my phone. I have a fair amount of confidence in the security of phones. There was at least one study that showed that a lot of this phone malware hype is just that. It's a lot of hype.
I want to repeat something Tariq said about cost-benefit analysis. Yeah. I tend to run something like that on everything I do because every tool we use, we have to trust. I have to trust my cell phone in order to do a lot of things I do every day. But if that's compromised, then, I mean, I'm in for major trouble. But I simply have to trust that cell phone because it provides me with so much.
That's David, Tariq, and Carl. They're all part of the predominantly male population in computer science. But all three of them said their hacker group, Batman's Kitchen, is conscious of that.
We had our first kickoff meeting, I think it was last week. And one way we did this is we advertised to a lot of the organizations, both students who are inside computer science, those who are not in computer science but interested in computer science and related majors. And we've done some outreach to some of the women's groups. And we were shocked at the number of people that came. And we're even more happy that there's a significant number of women coming in. And I think it's really important for women to get involved because, you know, the more diversity you have, the more perspectives you have. And I think that's really important. And I know at least from my perspective, I'm trying to do whatever I can to get more women involved in the program. I talk to any of my friends and say, hey, you should come. We do some pretty cool stuff. And I kind of try to publicize it via word of mouth. And that's my way of getting diversity in there.
Tariq Yusuf, Carl Kosher, and David Ma, all students at the University of Washington, all part of the hacking group Batman's Kitchen.